Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State and Illinois playing Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. But there's so much surrounding this game. As you heard on yesterday's show, Tim Beckman, again, still cannot gracefully and artfully answer the questions about recruiting Penn State players on campus here in front of the Lash Building. He still can't handle the question when he gets it and becomes very stilted and awkward when it comes time. That's one of the sidebar issues. You know, Bill O'Brien will sidestep it. He's not going to talk about it. And the same thing when he's on the show Thursday night with me. He's not going to talk about it. It'll be brought up, but there's no need for him to pour gasoline on the fire when there's enough fire being provided by everybody else. The media is going to talk about this week. It is going to be the narrative of the week, the fact that Illinois came in here and was actively recruiting Penn State players after the sanctions came out. And while, yes, it is under NCAA bylaws and guidelines, Illinois can do that, yes. Is it ethical? No. We all know that. That's what has everybody bothered. Now, there's a game to be played. Nathan Shielhouse is going to be the starting quarterback for Illinois Saturday against Penn State. Matt McGloin coming off a week where he was named one of the Big Ten Offensive Players of the Week. You know, Matt McGloin, the record for 300-yard passing games in a career at Penn State is 4 by Kerry Collins. Do you realize Matt McGloin is 3? He's one away from tying that record. 318-yard passing performance in the victory over Temple, a career high. May need that again this week. And Bill Belton's back on the recovery trail, and it looks like he's going to be a part of the running back mix on Saturday as well. We have a lot to talk about today. Kevin and I will come back to talk about all that and more in a few moments. But first, above the noise, which usually is Kevin screaming, with Dan Patrick.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40 mpg Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the sporty Velocity. Priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata? Also available at around 20,000 bucks. And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from. All at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. And the National Football League has put out a statement about last night's Seattle game, which I would hope that I can read without echo. On my end. There we go.
Happy to help.
And they are making, while attempting to back up the officials in last night's game, they are making a huge public relations mistake. When 150 million, and again, look, as you know, I am not a fantasy football guy. But I have still had on the air interviews dealing with fantasy football. Why? Because many of you like it. And it's important for us on the show to talk about what you're interested in, and it's not what I'm interested in. Now, many times it matches up pretty well that what I'm interested in, you're interested in. What Kevin's interested in, you're interested in. Many times that matches up. But when you host a show, it cannot be, the show cannot be about what you want to talk about. It has to be what you, the audience, want to listen to. Because you're what counts in all of this. Driving in your car, sitting at home, listening at work. That's what counts, is what you're interested in. So even though I may not be, quote, a fantasy football guy, many of you listening are and enjoy, whether it's in the office or among friends, playing fantasy football. So we have done fantasy football segments. Same thing with gambling. I've never laid a wager in my life. Now, but there's a reality. And the reality is many people do put money down on games. And legally, by the way, through Las Vegas. Last night, between $150 million and $250 million, switched hands on that one call last night.
I believe the number again, I heard was 152. 152 million was the number I heard.
Well, I've got between 150 and 250 million is the number I have.
Still a lot of money.
All right. There's also money that exchanged hands last night on fantasy football. Some people may have had the Green Bay defense. Some people may have had Golden Tate. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Unfortunately,
not
I didn't
the
have
same
any
extent.
Of them.
No, but I'm just saying, though. Okay, you know, I'm trying to make a point here.
It's I just, know exactly what you mean.
Okay. When okay, you cannot look at your consumer and you cannot look at your populace and treat them as if they are stupid. We have too much of that in our lives where we are looked at as dumb. We're going to spin this in such a way. Spin what? Just tell people the truth. They'll respect it. And there's everywhere we have turned, especially in the last 15 years, it's always, how can we spin this? I always say, you know, we'll make them think it's this. Well, here's a sports example of what we have. The league, which resumed meetings in it with its locked out officials in an attempt to resolve the impasse, put out a statement today. And in the statement, they said on the final play of Monday night's game, Russell Wilson put up, let's see. What they did in the statement was they backed up the officials and said that they missed a pass interference call in the end zone on the play, but you and I both know that realistically that pass interference play on the Big Ben jump ball happens all the time and is never called. All right. So they say it was pass interference, but then they said that it was simultaneous on the reception and that the correct call was made. You cannot look at your consumer. You cannot look at your populace. You cannot look at your electorate and keep treating them as if they are dumb. You can't do it. The National Football League treated everybody who watched that game last night as stupid when they said that. The National Football League had leverage with their officials. They lost it with that statement today.
We have definitely reached the tipping point with that particular play.
In the 24-hour span between the Ravens-Patriots game and the Packers-Seahawks game, they've made a mockery of what they're doing. I do not want to blame the current officials. They are doing the best they can. Right? They're doing the best they can. But just like certain people were meant to coach high school and be great at coaching high school, okay, they are not meant to be coaching in the NFL. Just like some people are meant to be announcing high school football across the country, they're not meant to be announcing BCS or NFL football. Games are too fast for them. Everybody's at different levels in their careers. If you go to a, okay, Bloomsburg plays wonderful football, right?
Sure.
Wonderful football. Danny Hale does a great job, okay? You go to a Bloomsburg game, it's a great experience, and you see some good athletes. Some people along the way, like a Bob Tucker back in the early 70s, made their way from Bloom to the NFL with the Giants and led the NFL in receiving. But it is not the caliber and the speed of the National Football League. And the officials who are Division II and III officials who would be officiating a Bloomsburg football game have officiated games at that particular level and speed in their lives. They're doing the best they can. But this game is too fast and too skilled for them to handle.
Did you hear that the president actually commented on this?
Look, he, you know what? He comments on too many things. I'll be frank with you. He commented on the Penn State thing as well. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's...
Well, my point is the fact that it's a big
enough
thing.
He's at the UN. The Middle East is... No, I'm serious. The Middle East is on fire. Do what you're supposed to do.
I realize, though.
No,
you're
seriously.
Right.
The Middle East is on fire. The National Football League is a sport.
That's a good point.
Okay? I mean, seriously.
That's a good point. And
you want to know why I can say that? Because as a taxpayer, I'm the employer, and actually he's the employee. And as one of his employers, okay, and people in politics have to get this, we're actually the employers. They're the employees. Do your job. Don't comment on the NFL.
That's a good point. Drew Brees said it's ironic that the league punishes those based on conduct detrimental, whose conduct is detrimental now. That might be a little bit too far, but I think the NFL is where he was pointing the finger at. I don't think he was pointing the finger at the replacement officials. At least that's the way I took that particular comment.
Look, they've taken it too far. Look, the NFL had leverage in this thing in the preseason, and the guys hung in there, okay? People complain, but it's still the preseason, all right? Then the regular season started, okay? Now it got serious. I think the NFL was hoping that four games in the preseason would be enough of an experience level where they could start to get used to the speed, the pattern, and so forth of the game.
And I thought, and I'm sure that they have felt that as each week went by, they get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. You know what I mean? Because you just need to get practice and repetition. All right? You need to get practice and repetition. But what's happened in the last 24 hours, that theory got flushed down the drain because now you're telling people that are placing money in fantasy leagues, which has been a big boom to the NFL. Fantasy leagues have been a big boon to the NFL. You're telling them that we're going to make a mockery of it. And you're telling people that place wagers on Vegas, which they turn their head to, for obvious reasons, that they're making a mockery of it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's got a couple things straight here. Number one, when I watched the game last night, I was watching it when it happened. You know what the first thing I thought was?
What's that?
Interception. And I don't have a dog in the fight.
I didn't see it, but then I saw the replay and thought the same thing.
No, I mean, but I'm watching it live, and I thought he picked it off. And then the official came running in and then called a touchdown. I thought, doggone. I said, on the way down, Golden Tate must have grabbed his share of it. Okay? Then they showed the replay, and I'm like, exactly what share did he grab? Exactly what share did he grab on that play? I didn't see anything.
The discussion was that he had one arm in there.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
One arm? What does one arm do?
Is one arm considered possession?
No.
I don't think, not if the other guy's got two.
No. He got the ball pinned against his chest.
That seems like mathematics to me. Two arms are better than one.
But he's got the ball.
I mean, if the receiver has both arms around the ball and the defender has one hand on the ball, is that dual possession?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Dual possession is they both have both arms around the ball and the offensive guy wins. Huh? I mean, Jennings carried the catch to the ground. I mean, Jennings carried the catch to the ground, and part of the problem is the one official has a terrible, the one that called it a touchdown has a terrible angle on it. The one that called it an interception is the one that has the proper angle on the play to begin with. If you notice on the play, the one that calls it an interception is the one that's on the end line that's running parallel to the end line. The one that calls it a touchdown is running in from the goal line. See, that's the other part people don't realize, that one official actually called it right. And this is the problem the NFL has. When you release a statement like they released today, backing them up, from an institutional point of view, do I understand them backing it up? Institutionally, yes. But you're really slapping your consumer in the face.
All right, I have a quick question. The replay official is an NFL employee, not a replacement official, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's part of the officiating department.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. So this would be the normal replay official.
I think it was the referee that went under the hood and looked.
Well, the referee did go under the hood, but who's the replay official? And couldn't the replay official have anything to say about this in the review?
I'm not sure.
See, that's what I wondered. Where was the replay official who's supposed to be the guy in charge?
The bottom line is you got 65,000 Seattle fans going absolutely nuts. Okay? That guy made sure he got to the airport.
He just wanted to get home.
No, safely.
Yeah. That's, there might be some truth to that.
Okay. I'm wondering if the same call is made in Green Bay. So what you have right now is a National Football League that had leverage in the situation with the officials. They locked them out. They basically said, hey, look, we need players to play. The players aren't on strike or locked out. The only time we're going to cancel games is when the players are out, because the players are the most important part of the game. Coaches are certainly important, but the players are the ones who play. We can bring in anybody and officiate. That's what they've been saying. I mean, two guys were fired, literally, and I'm not joking here, from the Lingerie Football League.
Right.
I mean, do you realize the LFL had to put out a statement last night saying why they fired him?
Yes. I thought that was a joke, and I researched that a couple of weeks ago, and it was true.
It's legit. So now you have this after, you know, and I had somebody say to me today, he said, well, you think the NFL's reaping the benefit of all the publicity? You know, the old saying, any publicity is good publicity? No. And here, the reason why is there are a lot of money changing hands. When you're talking about people's personal pockets, personal wallets, pocketbooks, you have a problem. Right. You have a big problem.
Was the official determination on the replay that there was not indisputable evidence?
He didn't say. He didn't say anything. He said it was a touchdown.
That's disturbing there, too.
The whole thing is, and again, I'm not sitting here as a Green Bay fan or a Seattle fan. I mean, I'm just somebody who watches and loves the game. I enjoy watching the game. You watch something like that. When the play happened, I thought it was an interception. When they came in and called it a touchdown, my thought was, wow, Tate on the way down must have grabbed his share. Then I watched the replay and realized that he has an arm on it.
See, and it's not one of those situations where if they call it a touchdown, it's automatically reviewed anyway. It was within the 2 minutes, so no matter what would have happened, they would have reviewed this.
Right.
So sometimes I think the officials, the replacement officials, have called a touchdown just because it's automatically reviewed. So if they're wrong, they can get the play right. Here it wouldn't have mattered because it would have been reviewed anyway.
Right. Well, yeah, because it's automatically reviewed anyway. That's right. Whether it's a score or a turnover.
In the last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot of touchdowns that I don't think would have been called touchdowns by the regular officials. But the replacement officials, my opinion, have been told, call it a touchdown. Then the review comes out, and we'll see if it's right. On the side of safety, we'll call it.
Right. Well, you know, but here's the other problem the NFL's running into. Okay, idealistically, the NFL wants the games to run 3 hours. You know, give or take. Games are going 3:14.
Yeah, that's not going 3 hours.
And they have been working toward doing that, because that's one of the reasons why they always were concerned about replay, because they felt replay may have been lengthening the game, you know what I mean? Things like that.
But I don't think it's all replay, too. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's all the huddles. I mean, there is a huddle for everything.
You're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. I'm saying that before they were worried about so many replays, you know, and they were trying to get the game to move faster. That's why, for example, you do not see re-kicks on punts. You do not see re-kicks on punts. They just tack on the 5-yard penalty. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
There are two reasons for that. Number one, safety, because, look, running down a punt's dangerous enough. Okay. And number two, it speeds the game up. What they've done with the 40-second clock, was put in a few years ago to speed the game up. The clock running, clock doesn't stop when you go out of bounds until, what, the last 5 minutes? Something like that.
Yeah.
Final 5 minutes.
College does it too, yeah.
Other than that, they just set and go. okay? And on penalties, they don't just stop on penalties. You know, as soon as you set the ball, you go. You know, unless it's a defensive penalty, obviously. It's an offensive penalty. They just mark it back and then start the clock. All this has been done to get the game into that approximate neighborhood of 3 hours. You know, why? Because it's a nice, safe, neat window. And when you're constantly in a triple header situation, which the NFL is on a Sunday, they want to be able to go from game to game to game and have it be as seamless as possible. Well, now it's what the average is 3:14. Not what they want.
Well, the NFL shifted the start time of that second game.
To 4:25.
To 4:25, which is another 10 minutes. And a perfect example, even before overtime started, I think they were running long in the Miami Jets and the Miami New York Jets game last week. So with overtime, you lost the entire first quarter of that second game with the Steelers and Raiders. And that was an expensive game for the NFL not to have on the air, especially in this market.
All right, of course. So, these are the issues they're running into right now. And, oh boy.
I still say this is the turning point now.
Well, it's a turning point if somebody in the office goes up to Roger Goodell and says, "Hey, look, I backed you all the way on this. I thought what you were doing was right. I thought you gave us great leverage. They've given us some give backs and things like that because, you know, they kind of know that we're going along without them." Okay. So, but now we've lost our leverage. Now, I will say this. When the permanent referees return, there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on them. This is not going to be a universal relief thing. There is going to be they darn well better be right most of the time. They darn well better be good most of the time. Okay?
You know, there's a small box video that we're going to post at stevejonesshow.com that was what you were talking about a few minutes ago. The one official who comes out of the back of the end zone has the best view. And he's the one that signals the clock to stop. The official who's blocked out by all the bodies is the one that signals touchdown. Now, if those two officials that are standing about, 6-7 inches apart can't come to a consensus, that's a little disturbing.
Well, except the one running in is the one that has European League experience.
Yeah, but still, To have two guys that close and not discuss it?
No, but I'm saying the guy that called it an interception is the most experienced guy in the crew at the highest level of the crew. By officiating in NFL Europe, they've at least been around this.
I just can't understand how you can have two officials that close together. They've discussed everything else in the last 2 weeks. They've huddled over everything else, and there wasn't a huddle over this before they decided whether it was a touchdown or interception? That was the point I was trying to make. These guys are 6 inches apart.
Well, I'm just bothered by the fact that they looked at the replay, and I'm sorry, there aren't even Seattle fans out there that think it's legit.
No, I've seen some of those posts. They're just happy that they got it.
Happy they won. Oh no, they're happy they won. But they know he didn't catch it. Golden Tate didn't catch that. And what's even more, what is almost as egregious to this, is the pass interference call that on the previous possession had actually swung the field position to allow this to happen. Or is it Starks is coming down the side? He has the inside. Tate climbs over his back, and they call Starks for pass interference. What? It's the same official who made the touchdown call that made that call.
But there's a great photo that I said, like I said, we're going to post online. And it shows one arm. Tate has one arm in there. And there is no way that that's dual possession, because Jennings not only has two arms wrapped around it, he's pulling it into his chest.
Right.
That there's no way that's dual possession. Right. That's not even a jump ball in the NBA.
That means that he is the one in possession of the football. Again, when the play happened live, I thought it was an interception. I mean, in fact, I didn't really think twice about it. All right, he picked it off, game's over. Because he went up and he grabbed it. Then when they called touchdown Seattle, I thought, doggone, that Golden Tate on the way down grabbed his share of the ball. Okay, so I mean, this is what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking, you know, Green Bay got robbed or jobbed or anything like that. I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, when he made the signal, I thought, geez. Then they showed the replay, and I'm thinking to myself, well, that'll get overturned. It's obvious what happened. Nope, didn't overturn it. Then the NFL backs it up today. See, the NFL backing it up today, to me, is far more egregious in this than the call last night. You cannot look at your consumer and tell them they're dumb. You can't look at your consumer and tell them they're wrong because you want to spin it your way. You can't do it. You can't disrespect your consumer like that. You can't. It's a league that thrives on TV ratings. It's a league that thrives on TV money. It's a league that doesn't want to talk about it, and justifiably so, but is the darling of the betting public. It is a league, and the league endorses this because it's on NFL.com, but you know they endorse fantasy football. Well, there are a lot of people who have jumped in and have the game has become more popular because of fantasy football.
Isn't this the second straight Monday night game that there's been discussion about it afterwards? I mean, even CNN and Fox News are talking about this.
Yeah, I know.
In an election year.
Right. You mentioned earlier the president commenting about this, okay? And my point about this, because I'm not making a political statement. I'm not, all right? I'm just saying there are more important things he has to deal with than the National Football League. That was my point.
Oh, I understand. Okay? But if news networks are talking about it.
Yeah. Well, the news networks are talking about it because it's popular.
Right.
Okay? That's why. And I'm sure the only reason the president commented on it because he was asked about it. Okay? Somebody asked him about, hey, did you see that game? And he made a comment. Now, I understand that. I completely understand that. But, you know, they're let Roger Goodell do his job. You do your job and I'll do my job, and you know.
Right.
And as for the networks like CNN, Fox News, and so forth, well, around the water cooler, that's what people are talking about, and of course they need ratings as well. But how many times, and I made a graphic example out of this in the past year, how many times have I said to you over the years, news people should never do sports, and sports people should never do news?
That's true.
Because it's what your area of expertise is. I don't sit here and comment on news. I'm a sports person. You know, you have to know who you are, what you are, what you do. Okay?
Unless you're Al Michaels, I think he can do both.
Al?
He did really well in the earthquake, you gotta admit.
But that's different though.
No, that, I know.
A play by play person is perfect for that. Okay? A play by play person who understands an area is perfect for that. Why? Because we constantly have to do stuff on our feet.
And describe what you see.
Okay? That's why he was perfectly suited for that moment. He wasn't making political commentary. I mean, do you know what Al Michaels' political affiliation is?
No. No idea.
I mean, I do. He and Rush Limbaugh are best friends.
I have no idea.
No, I just said, I just told you.
No, I realize you did. I would have no idea otherwise.
Right. I'm just saying. Right? And that's the same thing. And nor should I, you know, but it just turns out that, you know, through stories and so forth, I mean, that's how people know. But on this show, I mean, can anybody tell what our political affiliation is? No, because we never get political.
Well, except those that listen to me on the mark, then you might know that.
All right. Well, that's a different story. that's a different story. Because, again, I want to talk about sports. You know?
If I'm the referees right now, if I'm the regular referees, I tell my union chief steward, whatever they want to call him, I would be dialing the phone right now. I would be dialing the phone with an offer right now.
If you were the NFL,
if I were the officials, I would be calling up and saying, here's what we want. Because I think all the leverage now goes away from the NFL and goes right to the officials. I think they can call up now and call their own shot. Because they've got the support of the fan base at this point. And if I were the NFL, I would be going, exactly what do you mean? Okay, how can I help you out?
I disagree with you. I think the one thing that we don't know is we don't know yet what concessions have been made by the officials. And if there have been any concessions by the NFL. You know what I mean?
Well, but my point is I don't think the officials need to make any now.
Yeah, they do. Because guess what? They're the entity that's locked out. And the NFL can continue going the way they're going if they wish. They'll get criticized for it, but they can keep going.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
The officials do not have all the leverage in all this. All right? But there needs to be... Roger Goodell is the key to this whole thing. He has to, and to be honest with you, it is the owners that need to call Roger Goodell and say to him, okay, I want to know where it stands right now. What have they conceded on and where have we moved? And as an owner who has a vote on whether Roger Goodell is commissioner or not, I'm entitled to know that. So if I'm the owner of pick a team, the Tennessee Titans, okay, I'm Bud Adams. I'm entitled to call Roger Goodell this afternoon and say, look, I've been watching this thing play out. All right. Hey, you don't need any Monday morning quarterbacking from us in your strategy. That's fine. But I would like to know, where have they pulled back from? Where have they made concessions? And then where have we made concessions? And where's the gap? That's what I would call up about. Because the officials do not have all the leverage yet. They're still locked out.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, though. I see what you're saying. I just think they have more support now than they did before.
I think they can
use that to their advantage.
Well, yeah. Well, now you have the entire world looking at him saying, look, when $152 million changed hands last night on one call, you have a lot of disgusted people right now. Now, some of them ended up winning money out of it, but even they're a little embarrassed about it today. And you have a chunk of people who lost. And remember, wasn't it last night?
That's a good point. It was a pretty storied one.
Last night's game on that call. All right, top of the hour. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.